Hey, good morning. I wanted to speak a little bit about Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. We're starting the process that we're going to work on for a few weeks. Just some thoughts that could help us understand what Rosh Chodesh Elul is all about, what Elul in general is all about, Tshuva, a little bit of a beginning for Tshuva. This past July, I was in Eretz Yisrael. On the way to Eretz Yisrael, we stopped off in England. And the one thing on our bucket list in England was to see the changing of the guards at Buckingham Palace. So, went with the kids to Buckingham Palace, and there was one thing missing. We saw the guards coming, we saw the guards going, we saw the band. I just didn't know where the queen was. I was expecting to see the queen at the changing of the guards. And apparently, the way things are is that the queen doesn't come to Buckingham Palace to the changing of the guards. The queen's wherever she is, and they do their changing of the guards. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like that. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. When we are ready to offer our Tehilos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits right there. It's not like a Melech Basav Adam. It's important to know as we start Elul and we start davening a little bit more. Slichos are going to begin in a few weeks. I was just came back from the mountains yesterday, and they made an announcement. There's a Chabad that puts up a tent for davening for the men in the area near Lake George. And they have minyanim there, there's no shul there, but they have minyanim there. And they made an announcement, any Sephardim who want to have a Slichos minyan. Sephardim start Slichos today. So Ashkenazim, we may wait a few weeks, but we're starting to get into the mode of adding to our davening a little bit more. We have to realize that Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting, he's sitting there, waiting for our Tehilos, our Tefilos. So it's not like the queen who doesn't wait for the change of the guard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there waiting for our tefillos. So if we only realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there waiting for us to daven to him and to speak to him, kevyachol, I'm sure our tefillos and our avoda could be so different. I remember a few years ago, I was in shul, and because I sit in the front and I'm involved in the davening, I can't always make sure that my kids are sitting next to me. So I remember one Yom Kippur night, and it was Kol Nidre, and I'm waiting, one son is there, I'm waiting for my other son, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and my son didn't show up for Kol Nidre, and I'm waiting longer, and he didn't come show up for Maariv. And I went home, I was inside the whole davening, I wasn't able to daven at all, I wasn't able to think about that, because I was like, where's my son? I went home, and he said, he was in the basement playing with Lego. And my heart he's a little kid, so it's not, but in my heart, emotionally, my Kol Nidre and my son is playing with Legos. I just wonder, that made me think a little bit about how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look down when he looks at us? He's waiting for us. Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael, he's waiting for us to come to him. He's waiting for us to come back to him. And we're playing with our Lego. We're doing whatever we are doing without realizing how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us. He's pining for us to come. The daven to him, and that's what we could get ready for as we start getting ready for the Yom Ha'aram of Amalein L'Tova. Just understand what is the significance of Rosh Chodesh Elul specifically. I want to share with you the thought process of the Ran. The Ran was one of the Rishonim who lived in the 1300s, and he has a long discussion about what happened, what's the significance of specifically Rosh Chodesh Elul, which you'll see in a moment. But he starts with a question. He starts with, the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah teaches us that we are judged, all of humanity, not just Jews, but all of humanity are judged on Rosh Hashanah, of course. And there are three other times of the year that there are other Yemei Hadin for the Peiros HaIlan and for the Tevuah and for Mayim. That's on other times of the year. But why is it, I understand that the water is judged on, when do we have Simchas Beis HaShoevas? To celebrate the Nisuch HaMayim, water that was poured on the Mizbeach, that we have on Sukkot. Why? Because that's right before the water season. Before the winter, we have a Yom HaDin. Sukkot is the Yom HaDin for water. And when do we have our fruits? Our fruits are in the summer. So Shavuos is the Yom HaDin for fruits. And the wheat starts growing in the spring, the spring wheat, that is the Yom HaDin on Pesach. So why does the human Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah? All the other Yemei Hadin that we have make sense, but why on Rosh Hashanah, why on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, is that the Yom Hadin for human beings? So Ran says a beautiful, beautiful answer. It goes back to the very, 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 very beginning. What happened on that first day of creation? Let me rephrase that. The world was created on the 25th of Elul. That was the first day of Sheshes Mebreshes. And then on the first day of Tishrei, which was the sixth day of Breshes, right? 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Those are the 5 days of creation. On the sixth day was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And that's when Adam HaRishon was created. And that's what we say in davening. Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the birthday of the world. It doesn't mean that the birthday of the world is really a week earlier. This is the birthday when Adam HaRishon was created. Let me tell you the timeline that Chazal say happened on that first day of Bias HaOlam. So Chazal say the following. The first hour of that day, that it was a Friday, right? That first Friday of history, Shah Rishona Ola B'machshava. HaKadosh Baruch had the thought, whatever that means, obviously it's not in literal terms, had the thought of creating Adam. Shnia Nisya'etz Im Malachei HaShareis. He conversed, he decided, he counseled with the Malachim, should we create Nasa Adam B'tzalmenu? Should we make man? Should we not make man? B'shlishi, on the third hour of the day, Hashem gathered the afar from the four corners of the earth. B'dalit, on the fourth hour of the day, Gavlo. Gavlo means he took the dirt and he kneaded it with a K, and he made some kind of mush. Again, these are obviously not to be understood literally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have hands, he doesn't have to, okay. B'chamishi Rikmo, he created a form. There's a structure, the physical outline of what Adam should look like, gave it substance. B'shishi aso golem, he made the more specific figure. In the seventh hour of the day, zarak bo neshama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted a neshama into Adam HaRishon. On the eighth hour of the day, hichniso legan Eden. On the ninth hour of the day, nitztava, Adam HaRishon was commanded not to eat from the Etzadas, not to eat from the Etzachayim. That was on the ninth hour of that first day of history. Ba'asiris, on the tenth hour, sarach. He already made his mistake. Meaning, Adam HaRishon got his neshama on the night, got his command, his tzivui on the ninth hour of the day, the tenth hour of the day, the next hour, kivyachol, whatever those hours might have been, he already ate from the Eitz Hadas. That was in the 10th hour. Ba'achas esrei nidon, in the 11th hour of that day, Adam was judged. B'shtei mesrei, on the 12th hour of that first day of history, yatza b'dimus. Dimus is not a Hebrew word, it's probably a Latin or a Greek word. It means he went out victoriously from Din, with his tshuva. That's what we have as the history, the outline of the first day of human history. Says the Ran, an incredible idea. That first day of history is what? Is Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, kivyachol, if I have to pick one day that I should have the Jewish people and all of the world be judged, what would be the most appropriate day to do it? On that day, the first day of Tishrei, where there is already precedent, where there is a long history, where there is the very first day of history happened that somebody did a chait, somebody did tshuva, and the tshuva was accepted. And that's what happened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yotze B'dimus, he goes out victoriously. I want this to be the precedent, this should be the day that forevermore the world will be judged. So Hashem is setting us up. It's not an arbitrary day, it just happens to be the first day of... No, it's much more than that. It's not just as the first day of the world, so when you start something anew, you have to refigure out, you know, recalculate how you're going to, how Hashem will run the world, and what everybody should have, and the brachas they should have, the other things they should have. No, much more simple than that. Or maybe much more profound than that. That's the day that historically HaKadosh Baruch Hu already was mochel people, Adam HaRishon, and let them come out victorious bedin. And therefore Hashem said, let this be the day of Yom HaDin for the rest of history. And therefore, so continues the Ran, that's the history. The Ran says, if that's the case, so we could understand a minhag. What minhag do we understand? The minhag of Barcelona. Minhag of Barcelona says that we begin Slichos when? Not exactly like us. On the 25th day of Elul. It often comes out similar to us, but that was the Minhag of Barcelona, the Ran said. The Ran lived, I don't know where he lived. He lived in Spain, so maybe that was where he's from. Says the Ran, why do they start, why is there this Minhag of Barcelona to begin Slichos? The 25th of Elul? Because That's when everything began, when this process began. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world on the first, the beginning of Avahi, or on the 25th of Elul, leading up to what we just said. Because the world was created, there's a machlokas. One opinion that we've been mentioning until now holds that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. That means the sixth day before that was the 25th day of Elul. So on the 25th day of Elul, Hashem said, Vayihi Or. That was the first day. Then there were 26th of Elul, 27th of Elul, 28th of Elul, 29th of Elul. Elul was 29 days. On the sixth day of creation was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. So that sixth day of creation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, is Rosh Hashanah. So that's the connection. That's Rosh Hashanah, on the sixth day of Elul. But all of humanity. Every Rosh Hashanah is not just for Jews. Rosh Hashanah is for all of humanity. Even nowadays, it's not just for Jews. The Mishnah says, and we say it in the Machzor also, Kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. Ba'ei olam means everybody who comes to the world. It doesn't just say Jews. That's what the Mishnah says. It's a quote from the Mishnah. That part of the Machzor is a quote from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah itself is telling us that all humanity is judged, which makes sense because according to what we just explained, the reason why Hashem chose that day is based on Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was not a Jew. He was a human. And that's the time that all of humanity is judged. That's what the Mishnah says. That's a great question. That's a very good question. I don't have an answer to that. I will tell you a partial answer. It is true that the Goyim are judged on Rosh Hashanah, but we do have a gift that they don't have, and that is that we were told that we will be judged on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say anywhere in Chumash that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. What do we say in Davening? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. Or Yom HaTrua, or Zichron Trua. But Yom HaZikaron, we say in Yalav Yavav. Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. That is not explicit that it's judgment. Yom HaZikaron, whatever that means. So the Jewish people, although everyone's judged, we were given the gift of the Mesorah that is not explicit anywhere in Chumash, but we have a Mesorah that we have that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So it's sort of like if two people are going into a courtroom, two people are going to be judged, have a set court date, one of them is lucky enough to actually know when their court date is. They could talk to their lawyers, they could arrange their arguments. The other person is going to be thrown into court without knowing, so they're at a disadvantage. So in a certain sense, we are lucky that we know when our Yom HaDin is. The Goyim are equally nidon, they're equally judged, but they didn't even know that they are being judged. So that's a bracha that we're fortunate to have. So that's, as far as an introduction of why Rosh Hashanah is significant, is the Yom HaDin, and perhaps why Slichos might begin on the 25th day of Elul, but that leaves us with nothing and no significance for Elul itself. Nothing. This month has nothing to do with Tshuva. It happens to be a few weeks before when something important is going to start, but there's nothing significant. They just blew the shofar here. They started yesterday. There's no significance to right now, according to what we just explained. The significance starts, I guess, the day of Bria Sa'olam, which is the 25th of Elul, and it reaches the crescendo on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. But what's Elul? Elul doesn't really have any significance, according to what we just explained. I'll ask just that's not a question, that's just pointing out that there's no significance to Elul per se. Let me ask a question that the Ran who lived at 700-800 years ago, he asks. There's an opinion that I mentioned very quickly who holds that the world wasn't created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Adam HaRishon wasn't created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, but rather, Adam was created Rosh Chodesh, the world was created Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Nisan. There's another opinion. We always think of Rosh Hashanah being Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that's the first day of Tishrei, that's the new year. That's subject to dispute. There's an opinion that says that Hashem created the world, not during Tishrei, but during Nisan. If that's the case, then everything we just mentioned about Adam being judged, it wasn't on the first day of Tishrei, it was the 25th day of Adar, Hashem said, Vayihi Or. And he created the world through the last 5 days of Adar. And on the first day of Nisan, that's when Adam Rishon was created and sinned and that got forgiven, and that has nothing to do with Tishrei. So he says around, we have to find another reason, another explanation, another understanding why perhaps Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is chosen for the day of judgment. And this new understanding he'll tell us now might give us a little bit more of an understanding of the significance of what Elul is all about. And therefore, the Ran says the following. The Ran says, there's another story. Not the story of Adam HaRishon, as you mentioned, that relates to all of humanity, but a story that's much more specific to Klal Yisrael. And that's the story, of course, of Chet HaEgel. When do we finally get the Luchos Rishonos were destroyed, they were shattered by Moshe Rabbeinu? That was on Shavuos is the sixth day of Sivan. That's when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai. 40 days later, he comes down on Shavuos HaBetamuz, breaks the Luchos. He goes back up for 40 days so that Klal Bnei Yisrael don't get killed. And that's till the end of. And then finally, the last time Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai to finally get the second Luchos and to get forgiven entirely is Rosh Chodesh Elul. And how long is Moshe Rabbeinu up on Har Sinai? This last, the third time. Again, the first time was to get the Luchos, they were destroyed. The second time was to daven for Bnei Yisrael, so Hashem shouldn't destroy Bnei Yisrael. And this third time, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up for 40 days, that ends on Yom Kippur. And what does Hashem say on Yom Kippur? Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Yom Kippur is the day in history that Hashem says, not just Salachti, but Salachti Kidvarecha, like you wanted me to forgive. Complete, absolute forgiveness for Chet HaEgel. Well, if that's the case, that Yom Kippur, and then from then on Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha, says the Ran, Hashem, in His love, wanted to give us the opportunity to have a week before that Yom Slicha to prepare ourselves, to get as much Slicha, to get as much Kapara as we can on that Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His desire that we should be able to maximize, in His desire that we should be able to get out as much as we capitalize on the Slicha that Yom Kippur affords, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to judge you before the Yom Kippur, a week before, and therefore, the day of Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessarily that was the day that Adam HaRishon was judged. Even without that, there's significance to the fact that Hashem wanted to give us time. He chose 10 days. That's what Hashem chose, and that's good for me. Hashem chose that we should have 10 days, a few days more than a week, to prepare for Yom Kippur. Well, according to this, then we understand something very simply. We understand that that process all began. If the reason for the significance of Rosh Hashanah is coming from the fact that it's before Yom Kippur, as significant as Yom Kippur is the Salachti Kedvarech, which began only because of the process that started 40 days ago, this, says the Ran, is the source for a different minhag to start Slichos. This is the minhag, of course, of the Sfardim. This is the minhag. Where is it? Some other. He doesn't say which cities in Europe, in the world. This is the minhag of the Sfardim. The Sfardim who start Slichos on Rosh Chodesh Elul must be because of what? Because that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har Sinai for the third time to begin the process of Ritzui, to begin the process of appeasing HaKadosh Baruch and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting the appeasement for us. And that's the beginning of the process. Right now we are in that time period. That Eis Ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the mode of Ritzui, in the mode of Ritzui, preparing for the ultimate Salachti Kedvarecha that we will be Bezras Hashem here, you know, in a few weeks. And with that in mind, every day is so significant. Every day is so significant because these are days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the days, that these are days of Ratzon, that Hashem wants us, is looking for the opportunity to allow us to come closer and Himself, Kivyachol, to come to us. So in that backdrop of Elul being the time of the Yemei Ratzon and the Yemei Ritzui, I want to share two or three thoughts, not just two or three ideas about one idea about Elul, then maybe an idea or two about Tshuva. there's the story in the Torah of Eshes Yifas Toar. If a man goes to battle and wants to marry one of the women that they're fighting, that nation, that Gentile nation, the Torah says that the person is the Jewish warrior is allowed to marry her after a period of where she makes herself disgusting. Uvachsa es aviha ve'esima yarach yamim. She should cry uvachsa bacha, and here in the cave of Vachsa, es aviha ve'esima, she should cry for her mother, for her father, yarach yamim, because she was captured in this war, for yarach yamim. The Zohar points out, a lot of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh on Chumash points out, based on the Zohar, that this month of crying for the mother and for the father is the month of Elul. That's what the Zohar says. This month, da yarchad Elul. This is the Chodesh of Elul. The month of Elul is a time that we cry for mother, father. One is representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is representative of Bnei Yisrael. And we cry to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cry for this, for the goodness of Klal Yisrael. But I have one very simple question. Vachsa es aviha ve'esima. When the Torah wants to talk about a 30-day period, or what we call in English a month, what word does the Torah use? How does the Torah say the word month? What?
Yarach.
This is the unusual. This is the exception. Usually, what does the Torah say? Elsewhere, the Torah says, well, by Pidyon HaBes, it's Shloshim Yom. And many other places, it says Chodesh. B'Chodesh HaShlishi, it says Bnei Yisrael, it says Chodesh, it says Shloshim Yom. And here, it for some reason chooses the very unusual word Yarach. I mean, it makes sense. Yarach is a moon. In English also, the word month is the word moon. It's the same thing. Yarach, of course, it means a month. But the question is, why did the Torah say the word Yarach when it's talking about Elul, when it's talking, at least as Zohar understands this pasuk, when it's talking about Elul, why does it choose the word Yarach, not Chodesh, not Shloshim Yom, which is used in almost every other place in Chumash? I'd like to share with you a fascinating halacha that people typically don't realize. In halacha, we have different documents that we have to write. We have a ksuva, Baruch Hashem, and there's a get in those cases where that's necessary. And of course, when it's written in the ksuva, you write the date. When a get is given, you write the date. But the way you write the date in a ksuva is different than when you write the text, the date, and again. This is something that Levush, one of the early Achronim, points out. In the Shulchan Aruch, he finds a difference between how the date is recorded in Ksuva and how the date is recorded in a get. He said, in the Ksuva, we say, you might, if you listen carefully, next time you go to a wedding, Bezus Hashem, you'll say, B'shlishi b'shabbos, shlosha v'esrim yom, l'chodesh. Elul, L'chodesh, Tammuz, L'chodesh. We use the word Chodesh. However, when it comes to a get, they use the word Yerach. The month of Elul, the month of Tammuz, the month of Shvat, the month of Adar, Yerach. So why is there that difference? It's the same halacha as why, how come for a ksuv? They're both documents, they're both Jewish documents, they're both documents that relate to marriage. Why is that when it comes to a marriage, we use the word Chodesh, and when we refer to a when a get has the date, we use the word Yerach to refer to the date. There must be something different about the word Chodesh and the word Yerach. And that will hopefully shed light on why this pasuk chooses the word Yerach, talking about the Eshes Yifas Torah, telling us, referring, as the Zohar tells us, about the month of Elul. And the Levush says the following. He says that the word Yerach refers to separation. So if you remember from, I think it's Ha'azinim, the pasuk says, Geresh Yirachim. Geresh Yirachim, without getting into the literal meaning, sending away, and it uses the word Yerach there. So by the get, it's appropriate to have the word Yerach. On the other hand, when it comes to marriage, the pasuk says, Ki kach ish isha chadasha. There, chadasha, chodesh. The word chodesh is used in connotation to marriage. The word Yerach in the Torah is used to sending away. So therefore, we see precedent in the Torah that the word Yerach is appropriate for a get, and the word Chodesh is appropriate for the word for something that relates to marriage. I want to share with you a beautiful idea that I heard this from Rav Goldwicht. I'm not sure if the Levush says this point, but the Rav Goldwicht pointed out the point of Rosh Chodesh Elul. The point of Chodesh Elul, as the Zohar says, this pasuk that says Yerach Yamim is referring to Elul. It's supposed to be days that we have to be ready to do something akin to sending away. We have to be able to look into ourselves and be ready and realize that that's what we're not just in Chodesh Elul, we're in Yerach Elul. We're in Yerach Yomim, the month of Elul, that is a time that we have to be ready to sort of think of what are the things inside of ourselves that we could begin to push away. That's the word Yerach, that's teaching us that Elul is a time that we should find the things in our lives that we could sort of see where we could distance ourselves to be ready to the habits, the attitudes, the perspectives, those areas of speech that we could provide for ourselves an environment that will be conducive to doing tshuva. And when we talk about doing tshuva, we have to keep in mind that whenever there's a chait, that whenever we do something that we might do that's wrong, there are always two aspects to every chait. There's two aspects to every mitzvah and two aspects to every chait. When we do a mitzvah, of course we get shechar. But besides that, when we do a mitzvah, we just come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can call one schar, the other could be called Kedusha, Tahara. But when we do the opposite, God forbid, so the same thing is the case. Of course, there's Onesh, Chas V'Shalom, but separate apart from that, there's also a distance that we created with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I have a friend, my next door neighbor, and I smack him across the face, so, I mean, I have to pay for his broken nose. But after I pay for his broken nose, that doesn't mean that we're best of friends now. He still doesn't like me because I smacked him in the face. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's the same thing. If I chas v'shalom do a chait, so of course there's the onesh that might be coming. But even with the onesh, it's still, we're not where we were before. I angered him. I didn't show my friend my love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tshuva, of course, fixes both aspects. By every chait, there is onesh, and separately from that, there's also the tumah, the distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we do tshuva, the goal of tshuva is really to not just do one thing, not just to get rid of the onesh. It's also to get rid of that distance that we created, that brick wall that we might have created between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you open up a Rambam, you'll find something absolutely fascinating. Let me read for you one line of the Rambam. And you'll see which one of these does the Rambam focus on as what the goal of doing tshuva is. Let me share with you Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam says, before a person does tshuva, yesterday, maybe before he did tshuva, this person is sanui, is hated, lefnei hamakom. Meshukat, sheket is disgusting, is detestable. Meruchak, distance. To'eva, disgusting. Hayom, and today, after he does tshuva, what would I think he would say? Hayom, he doesn't get all of his aver, he doesn't get his onesh. Hayom, he's saved from all the punishments. Hayom, he's free from any worry of being a retribution. Hayom, who ahuv, he's beloved after he does tshuva, nechmad, and desired, karov, close, yedid, a friend. The Rambam, when he's talking about the badness of chait, and the bracha of tshuva, he doesn't even mention at all that aspect of tshuva, of chait being something that gets an onesh, and the benefit of tshuva being that we're relieved from that onesh. That's not even what the Rambam focuses on when he talks about who a baal tshuva is and what a person achieves by becoming a baal tshuva, which is our goal for Elul, to become baalei tshuva. But he focuses on the fact that in our state before we do tshuva, there's a distance, and once we do tshuva, ahuv, nechma, we come beloved, we are Yedid. My wife always loved the name Yedidya. It's a very strong name. Friend of Hashem, it's a very powerful name. Yedid Ka, the friend of Hashem. That's what the Rambam says. A person, we could all become Yedidyas. We could all become his friends of Hashem when we do tshuva, we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just forgetting about fixing things that were wrong, but actually becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first line, I never really understood it clearly. Very first few lines of Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva talks about the following mashal. He says, why is it important to do tshuva? He says, tshuva is important, right? The Jewish manual for tshuva is Rabbeinu Yonah HaChassid. He wrote the Sefer Shari Tshuva. He actually wrote a much bigger Sefer, And each aspect of Avodas Hashem had its own shahr, its own chapter. There's Shahr HaAvoda, Shahr Tshuva, Shahr... We lost all of them. The only one that we have left is Shahr Tshuva. And we found one, which is a very short, which is two or three pages long, a few pages long. And Shahr Tshuva is about, let's say, 60 pages, 80 pages long. And that's only one of the number of Shahre, this and this and this and this, that Rabbeinu Yonah left for us, but we don't have anymore. But in Shahr Tshuva, which is the Bible, if we could say that, of how to do Tshuva, he gives a very unusual description of what Tshuva is like. He said, imagine you have somebody in jail. And I never understood it, I'll tell you why I never understood it. Imagine you have a person in jail. And the person is with his friends. They all, I don't know, they all robbed the bank. And they're all caught and they're armed in their getaway car. And they're all thrown in jail together. And when they're in jail, a few of them dig a, you know, you hear every now and then, every few months you hear on the news about an escape. They dug here, they went through the rafters, and they went through the air conditioning vent. And they escaped, and three of them left. And one guy stays in the jail. He doesn't leave. The jail warden comes now, you know, checking the cell every morning, and he sees, three people escaped. What does he do? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, he takes his stick, and he hits the guy who's in jail and says, you fool. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, so too, when we have the opportunity for tshuva, we have the opportunity to escape through this tunnel called tshuva, and we don't, we're still locking ourselves in the cell, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just that we didn't take advantage of the tshuva, but that Hashem is though he hits us and calls us a fool. You idiot. Why are you still here? I don't understand. I learned this many times, many years ago. And I never understood. If you were the jail warden, would you be happy with this guy who stayed or not happy with this guy who stayed? You'd be happy with this guy who stayed. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. I wanted you to, you know, you're supposed to be here and you're still here. And if anything, okay, you could call him a fool, but to hit him and to say, you know, you should hit the guys. The guys who ran away, they're the guys who should be locked up, put in maximum security, and, you know, solitary confinement, and beat them. But the guy who stayed, he's a law-abiding. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's a question that always bothered me. I think the answer, maybe it's obvious, maybe it's less obvious, is that the only reason why somebody doesn't run away is because they don't think that they're in a bad place. If you felt you're in a bad place, you escape when you can. If those three people escaped through the rafters and risked their lives digging underneath digging through the tunnel underneath the gates of the prison, that's because they realized that they don't want to be there. They can't be in that situation. And they wanted to escape. So therefore, yes, the jail warden didn't want them to escape, but at least the jail warden knows that they don't want to be in jail. If a guy stays in his cell and doesn't escape with the others, what is he saying? I don't mind being here. I don't mind staying in the gutter. I don't mind staying in this situation of lowliness, this situation of distance from Hashem. It doesn't bother me. I'm happy where I am. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is teaching us. That the opportunity of Elul that's given to us is not just that we're here during Elul and that there's something that we could, if we want to take some tshuva pills, we could take some tshuva pills and we could come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could have a great life and get rid of all of it. No. It's that when we are in Elul and we are doing tshuva, we realize that we're in a place that we don't want to maintain ourselves. We're in a place that we don't want to stay. We don't want to stay secure and comfortable with everything that we're doing, with everything that we're saying, with everything. We want to improve. We want to realize that we want to hopefully feel a little bit of discomfort in where I am in life right now so that we could improve ourselves. That's what it means. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to tell us when he talks about running out of jail as soon as we can. I just want to finish with one thought, then we'll finish off. A question. If you were given your hand to construct the calendar, what would you put first, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the Yom Slicha V'Chapara. Rosh Hashanah is when Hashem decides what you're going to get. So if you would ask me, I would say, you should get forgiven first. Once you're forgiven and you're clean, that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Slicha V'Chapara, Yom Kippurim, Kapara. Then after that, Hashem should judge us what will be for the year. That format would just make a lot more sense. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first judges us and afterwards, after the judgment, then He forgives us? We just began saying, L'David Hashem Ori. I want to focus on a few words. L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishri. Chazal say very enigmatically, Ori Zu Rosh Hashanah, Yishri Zu Yom HaKippurim. That's what Chazal say. The word Or refers to Rosh Hashanah, Yish'i, Yeshua, salvation, that's Yom Kippur. What does that Chazal mean? So let me describe, you're traveling through a forest, and you get lost in the middle of the forest, and it gets darker and darker and darker, and sun sets, and you're lost in a forest. Not only that, but the rain starts coming down, and it's a tremendous storm, and you're drenched, and you don't have anything to eat, and you don't have any shelter, and your clothing are drenched, and you don't have no idea. The biggest problem is that you don't know where to go. You look up at the stars and the moon, the clouds are coming, and you have no idea where you're going. All of a sudden, in one moment, there's a flash of lightning, everything is lit up, you get your bearings, you see exactly there's a farmhouse many, many miles in that direction. You see something in the distance that looks like a farmhouse, a chimney, some smoke coming out of a chimney. And then it goes black again. And the rain continues to come down. So where are you now? Are you saved? No? You still have to make it through the forest, till the end of the forest, to get to that farmhouse where you'll get some shelter and warm clothing and food and protect yourself from the frostbite. You don't have Yeshua. What do you have? You have Or. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Or. Rosh Hashanah is a day that we are given that perspective of what life could be like. When we daven on Rosh Hashanah, we daven for a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the Melech, Melech al Kol Haaretz, and we realize what things could be like to be Moshe Mashiach, what life could be. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the Or. Ori zu Rosh Hashanah. However, are we there yet? No. All we did was we were able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but for the duration of the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have to actually walk through that tunnel, walk through the rest of the forest, to get to that Yeshua, to get to that salvation of that farmhouse at the edge, at the outskirts of that forest. In other words, what we're preparing for now in the days before Rosh Hashanah, we're letting ourselves be ready to reconfigure, to reimagine what the world and what the tachlis of the world should be. That's the goal of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is to redefine in our minds what life is supposed to be. We're supposed to be living for Hashem. We're supposed to be living for Kvod Hashem. We realize that in Rosh Hashanah. We have that clarity on Rosh Hashanah. We realize what life will be in the time of Mashiach. That's what all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are all about. Just Yom HaMashiach. Everything in the entire Shemona Esrei is just about and everybody will be it's all about what life will look like b'yamos HaMashiach. That's a realization on Rosh Hashanah of what life will be like, what it could be. And then we have to go through the steps, the tshuva process, during that Seres Yomei Tshuva, through that tunnel to get to the Kapara, to the Yeshua that Yom Kippur itself affords. I want to finish with one practical point. A very practical point that perhaps could help ourselves, halacha l'maisa, as we begin the process of realizing that this is an Eis Ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting His Yoshev Tehillas Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider us His dear friend, His beloved. As we do that tshuva, as we become Baalei Tshuva, what could we do practically? There's a mitzvah that doesn't apply to any one of us. Not men, not women. Applies to one person in Klal Yisrael, the Melech. And that mitzvah on the Melech is to carry with him a Sefer Torah wherever he goes. L'ma'an, says the Torah, Yilmad li'ir'ah es Hashem Elokav kol hayomim. The Melech has to carry the Sefer Torah with him all the time, all the time. There was a big Sefer Torah, he had a small, one of those handheld Sefer Torahs that could fit, just not bigger than this, if not this small. And he would carry it wherever he would go, 24/7. It would sleep next to him. It would always be next to him. Wherever he would travel, whenever he would go, anywhere he had a little Sefer Torah, like you're wearing a little, those people, sometimes you go to Eretz Yisrael and you find that you get a good Sephardi cab driver, and he has a necklace with a little mezuzah hanging down. So, Lahavdil, that was what the Melech had, this little Sefer Torah that he would carry with him anywhere and everywhere. Why? Torah says, L'man yilmad l'yira es Hashem alakav, so that he should know to have Yiras Hashem. It's a very important lesson there. Of course, the lesson is that even a king has to realize that he has to have Yiras Shemayim. We all need Yiras Shemayim, but of course the king. But just putting that aside, for a person to grow in Yiras Shemayim, and Yiras Shemayim is the foundation of absolutely everything. Yiras Shemayim is the foundation of everything. Like we're going to lane soon. That's what Hashem, that's the main thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us, and that's the key that brings everything else. How do we have Yiras Shamayim? We see from this, the pasuk says again, have the Sefer Torah with you all the time so you can have Yiras Shamayim. Apparently, Yiras Shamayim means being aware of Hashem all the time. If we think, this is something I tell my students who are either just became religious or not yet religious, if you want to be aware of God all the time, you want to be God conscious, you want to be thinking of Hashem all the time, I think we have a way that we could do it. So just have it in mind, we're not always on a madrega, that whatever we're doing, we could be thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what Hashem, you know what Chazal did? They were very nice to us. They instituted for us brachos. Every time we eat, every time we go to the bathroom, in the morning when we wake up, during davening, before we go to sleep at night, whenever we're doing anything that's significant or less significant, we're making brachas. That means that over the course of the day, there are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, hopefully 100 times that we're just reminded, oh, there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, there are two ways, you know. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihyeh B'Dvaro. So I could, you know, the same way I lift up my hand, I say a bracha, it doesn't mean anything, I'm not thinking about anything. Or I could use it as a time, I could think about standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brachos, as we say brachos, those are the key to Yiras Shamayim. Because they are so, they come sporadically and they shoot at us all day long, from beginning of the day till the end of the day. If we are able, perhaps this is something to think about, if we're able to think about when we say a bracha, to think a little bit about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we say the bracha, Baruch, Atah, Hashem, it's Hashem, it's me, I'm speaking directly in first person, I'm grateful that this came from somewhere, I'm not taking things for granted, I'm just thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when I'm in a rush, I have to go wherever I'm going, if you feel otherwise, you're welcome to, but I feel that thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we make brachos is the most effective way to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life, in our living of life, every moment. It's not just a question of just making the brachos, it's a question of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we make those brachos. And just to finish off with a beautiful thought, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when a person would be chote chas shalom, so some averos would bring a korban chatas, other averos would bring a korban asham, other averos would be a korban ola. We don't have a chatas, we don't have an asham, we don't have an ola, we don't have korbanos. We have our tefillah, we have our tshuva, but how can we do, if the Torah says you want to do tshuva for this, you have to bring a korban, and we don't have the korban, so, you know, if you want to become a nurse or a physician, and you have to pass the boards, and you don't take the boards, you don't become a physician, you don't become a nurse. If the Torah says you want to get kabar, you have to, you know, daven and do tshuva, and bring korban, and we don't bring the korban, so, how can we ever, we're asking for kapar, we're asking for forgiveness, we're asking to come closer, HaKadosh Baruch says, bring a korban, but we don't have a korban, so what can we do? I want to share with you an incredible idea of the Mabit. The Mabit in his Sefer Beis Elokim, Mabit says something incredible. He says 2 points that relate to this question. When the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, the presence of Hashem permeated the air. We were able to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in a more palpable kind of way. That means that there's more Yiras Shamayim available, there's more awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person would to be chote during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a person would be chote at the time of Beis HaMikdash, so number one, it's more of a slap in the face. You sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is more palpable, and still you're chote? That's more of a slap in the face that every chait involves. Secondly, the fact that Hashem's presence is in Klal Yisrael, that generates more Yiras Shamayim around, and that if I'm chote with that added level, heightened level of Yiras Shamayim, so that again is worse because I had more Yiras Shamayim, and still I was neshal, and still I was chote. With that in mind, says him a bit, those two aspects, the fact that you had more Yiras Shamayim and yet you were chote, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was staring you in the face, kivyachol, and still we were chote, says the Mabit, that's why you needed a korban to atone for that additional level of chutzpah, as if it were, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But unfortunately, we live without the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't have that opportunity to both sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and that chutzpah in our things that we do that might not be ideal. And secondly, we also don't have that added Yerushalayim that is fostered, that is engendered by the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, our tshuva, believe it or not, can go further than perhaps tshuva in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The time of the Beis HaMikdash, where there were a certain level of higher expectation, certain level of more of a chutzpah, you needed a korban to get kapara. But in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, in the absence of that palpableness and that sense of standing before our kodesh, that we unfortunately don't have, our tshuva can achieve more than it was able to achieve during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you needed that korban to be mechaper for that extra chutzpah that a person was doing to do an aver in the presence of Hashem. Now, unfortunately, we don't have that heightened sense of being before Hashem and being omid lefnei Hashem, and therefore, as funny and counterintuitive as it sounds, our tshuva could do more now, bezman hazeh, than tshuva during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to appreciate what Elul has to offer, not just that Rosh Hashanah, which is the day that Adam Harishon was nidon and came out, Bedimus came out victoriously, but also that Elul being the Zman of Ritzui, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to forgive Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu to reach Sa'ach to Kedvarecha. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let us prepare for the or, the lightning of the tunnel at the end of the tunnel, to realize that as we prepare for Hashanah, to reimagine what life is about, the important things in life. Hopefully we'll be able to grow in the Yiras Shamayim by making brachas with a little more kavana. And this way Hashem should indeed not only take our tshuva as it is, because we can't do it with korbanos, but hopefully give us once again the opportunity to bring korbanos and to elevate all of our tshuva and be in a state that we don't have the Yitzhahara to need to do tshuva. And we should also be zocha to a tshuva shlema. And with that, we should be zocha to a year of only bracha, only simcha, only hatzlacha for ourselves and our families. Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. And good kevan shtiyar.
We speak English.
Right.
And as a result, I would respectfully like